once again for the invitation to come along. I was to come along before, and I had to cancel it, but we managed to be here tonight. And I trust the Lord will bless our time together. Now, I'm going to read several verses. The first one is in Genesis chapter 13. Now, we'll read them in the order that I found in our Bibles, and then we'll have a look at them in a different order. So Genesis chapter 13 and verse 10 says, "And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord by the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. And Abraham dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly." Now, a verse in the book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 10 and verse 29. "And Moses said unto Hobad the son of Raguel the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, You are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good. For the Lord hath spoken good concerning Israel." Now a verse in Nehemiah, chapter 2. "And the king said unto me, that is unto Nehemiah, the queen also sitting by him, for how long shall thy journey be, and when wilt thou return?" Now over to Luke's Gospel, in chapter 13. Luke's Gospel, chapter 13, and a verse here, verse 22. "And the Lord Jesus went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem." And our final reading is in Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9 and verse 1. "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that he, if he found any of this way or the way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And Jesus said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." Now, we trust the Lord will bless all these verses to us again tonight. Now, I think you have noticed the connection in these different verses that we read. The order I'd like to look at them is first Luke chapter 13. The Lord Jesus was teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem. When we go back to Genesis chapter 13, we find that Lot chose him over the plain of Jordan, and he journeyed east. Nehemiah chapter 2, the question is asked, how long shall thy journey be? And in Numbers chapter 10, we are journeying to a place of which the Lord said, I will give it you, come with us, and we will do thee good. And then in Acts chapter 9, as Saul journeyed, he came near to Jerusalem, to Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. So it's not only Stephen that's journeying today, we are journeying as well. Through our Bibles. The Lord Jesus, it says of him that he was teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem. Now none of us chose where we were born. I was born in Thornton, Fife. None of us chose where we were born. I know John was up in Aberdeen there. None of us chose where we were born. And some people who are terminally ill decide where they want to die. I'm sure many of us will remember Gracie Dinsire. She was in Ethel Hill at one time, and she went to Australia to live. And when she discovered that she was terminally ill, she decided that she wanted to come back to Scotland and die in the Isle of Skye. And she did that. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he chose where he should be born. None of us chose where we would be born, but he did choose where he would be born. You know that he was at Bethlehem. And he also chose where he would die. And that place is called Calvary. Again, in every one of our lives, none of us knows what lay before him, whether we're younger or when we're older. None of us knows what lies before us. But the Lord Jesus did. He knew exactly what lay before him. And the poet says he knew the reason why the Father had sent the Son. He knew that he had come to die, a man for men undone. When we look at Matthew's Gospel, we find that Matthew's Gospel is divided into three. From chapter 1 to chapter 4 and verse 16 would be the first section. And in verse 17 it says there, concerning the Lord Jesus, from that time forth, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And that section goes on to chapter 16 and verse 20, because verse 21 again says, from that time forth, Jesus began to show unto his disciples how he must needs go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and rise again the third day. So he was teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem, knowing exactly what lay before him. In Acts chapter 13, we really find a lamentable verse. It says there, though they found no cause of death in him, yet they desired Pilate that he should be slain. But again, we know from the book of the Acts that he was delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. No unforeseen event took him by surprise towards the cross. With fixed intent, he moved with open eyes. He knew and love can look and see in light most sweet the glory of the way he took the beauty of his feet. In Luke chapter 9 verse 15, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go towards Jerusalem. If we go back to the book of Isaiah, we find again a quotation similar, I have set my face as a flint. No one could change his mind. He set his face to go towards Jerusalem. You know, we sing about Calvary a lot and we hear about Calvary a lot. You know, Calvary is only mentioned once in the Bibles. When they came to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. That is Luke's Gospel. The other Gospels refer to Golgotha, the same place. But someone has said that Calvary is the centre of world history. It is the highest measure of love. It is the deepest measure of suffering. It is the widest measure of salvation. And all before Calvary looked forward to it. And since then, every one of us who have trusted Christ as our Saviour, we look back to it. Once from the realms of glory down to the depths of ruin and loss, Jesus came, oh love's sweet story, came to the manger, the shame and the cross. So when they came to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. Someone said that this is the ultimate crime, the supreme blasphemy, the vilest obscenity. Sinners defiled and dead to God actually crucified him. Love said the Saviour to die in my stead. Why should he love me so? Meekly to Calvary's cross was he led. Why should he love me so? We'll never understand why. But you know, we can still come into the good and the blessing of his great love tonight. The full enjoyment of his death, burial and resurrection. If we trust him to be our own and personal Saviour. You know, Paul, and he speaks about the vastness of the love of Christ. And he says it is a love that passes all knowledge and understanding. But you know, by faith that every one of us can come into the good of that. And the apostle says in another verse, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So the Lord Jesus, he was teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem, knowing what lay before him. And there he died for your sins and for mine. When we come into Genesis chapter 13, we read about Lot this time. And it says that Lot was journeying, and we can see that he was really only keeping up with what his eyes saw. It says there, he beheld the plain, and he chose the plain, and he dwelled in the cities of the plain. And as we read the story about Lot, we find that his journey was a downward journey, leading to God's judgment. Because verse 13 says this, the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. You know, when we go into the book of Romans, chapter 1, we find a similar story. We read there concerning the ungodly and the unrighteous who do not want to retain God in their knowledge, and of such is said, God gave them up, and God gave them up, and God gave them over. What a sad state, really. Sadly, we feel that that's where our nation is fast heading today. We do not want to retain God in our knowledge. Blinded by Satan, taken captive by Satan at his will. But you know, there's another verse stands out in Romans chapter 1, and it is this, that the gospel, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believes. You know, people do not need to remain in bondage because of sin, because the Lord Jesus said, I'm come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And deliverance can come by repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. So Lot, he was journeying to a place that was going to come under the judgment of God. Because verse 10 says this, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. When we go to chapter 19, we find what happens. Remember it says there that the Lord rained fire and brimstone, and he overthrew the cities of the plain. But thankfully Lot had been delivered before this, and he escaped from the judgment. Now when we go to Acts chapter 17, we read about judgment again. Sobering that God hath appointed a day at which he will judge the world in righteousness. But you know, you and I can escape from that judgment. I have escaped from that judgment because I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as a young boy of 14. And you too tonight can escape the judgment that is coming because God hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world. The world will not go on like this forever, you know. God hath appointed a day in which he's going to come in judgment. But the Lord Jesus again says himself, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me shall have everlasting life and shall not come under judgment, but is passed out of death into life. And tonight, friend, if you're not saved, remember this, you're leaving yourself open to the judgment of God. But tonight you can escape that by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour. But the Lord Jesus in Matthew's Gospel speaks of a broad way and a narrow way. And he says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many are they which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. I wonder tonight, friend, have you ever found this narrow way that leadeth unto life? You can do that tonight by trusting the Lord Jesus as your Saviour. You know, I'm going to quote some verses from most of the Bible, but when it comes to the book of Ezekiel, where I'm struggling, I've read through Ezekiel, or I've tried to read through Ezekiel with a better statement, and I've tried to read chapters, and I've given up, and went back to it and tried again, and given up, and David Muir was just telling us recently that he's been reading through the book of Ezekiel, and he read from chapter 18, and that is the only verse I think I could quote from Ezekiel chapter, the whole book of Ezekiel. And it says this in verse 30. Repent and turn yourselves from your transgression, so that iniquity will not be your ruin. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live. You want me to quote that again? Repent and turn yourselves from your transgression, so that iniquity will not be your ruin. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live. And really that's what the gospel is all about, and that is really what the gospel is saying to men and women tonight, that God is giving them the opportunity to turn away from coming judgment by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as a Saviour. But remember this, as we sometimes sing, O sinner, God's patience, be weary someday and leave thy sad soul in the blast by willful resistance, you've drifted away over the deadline. At last. Remember this, that if you're running after pleasure, it is a race which has no finishing line, because you'll always want more. But you know, if you trust the Lord Jesus as your Saviour, there is a wonderful finish line, because it says here in Psalm 16, at thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Remember again, the choice you make today will determine where you will be in eternity. So as we think a lot, we can see that Lot's choice was a wrong choice. We're going to Peter's epistle, remember, says that Peter says that Lot was vexed with the filthy behaviour of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing them vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. So as we think a lot, we can see that he regretted the decision that he made. And I can confidently say this tonight, that no person who has trusted Christ as their Saviour has ever regretted making that decision. Because again, the Apostle says in 2 Corinthians, godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation, a repentance which bringeth no regret. Friend tonight, have you ever trusted Christ as your Saviour? What does God want? He wants repentance towards him and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and by doing that you are eternally saved. And you can be, that can be your experience tonight, and I can assure you from my own experience that you'll never regret trusting Christ as your Saviour. Though again, when we go into the Acts, we find that Felix trembled and said to Saul, go thy way, for this time when I have a convenient season, I will come for thee. A convenient season. And you know, as far as we know, he never had another opportunity to be saved. You know, some couple of years back, there were state meetings in Cross Hill. And David Trail took a local man down to these meetings. He had been coming along to the Gospel Hall several times, quite often, on a Sunday night, and listened to the Gospel. And David took him down to the tent in Cross Hill. And one night he came out of the tent in tears. And David pleaded with him to go back and speak to the speaker. But the man turned away. And sadly, he was never back in the hall again. Now, I don't know if that man was saved in his house or not. But he was out walking his dog in a park nearby. And some of his neighbours found him lying there dead. Now, again, as I said, I don't know if that man was saved or not. He had the opportunity. We trust and pray that he did trust the Lord Jesus in the quietness of his home, and as it happened tonight. But we don't know. Remember again that fear is not faith. Felix trembled. Remember Pilate, he trembled as well, but we find that he was more afraid of those that he listened to than what he was doing. Pilate was afraid. Fear is not faith. Pilate, as far as we know again, was never saved. There's got to be that definite decision in your life, you know. You don't just drift into salvation. Because Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 makes it perfectly clear that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Friend tonight, I wonder tonight, have you ever definitely, positively confessed to God you're a sinner and trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your own? I did that a wee bit. Now you're going to be staggered when I say a wee bit. 1951, John was speaking about camp days. But George was at the camp several years before I was at the age to go to camp. Way back in 1951, a young lad of 14, in Mount Logone, I can take you to the room tonight, where I realised that I was a sinner. Jim Wardle had preached the gospel on Revelation chapter 20 about the great white throne and coming judgment. God had spoken to me because of earlier camp days when Jim Dick from Inner Leven here was drowned. God spoke to many of us. And I put it off and put it off and put it off until I could put it off no longer. That was July 1950 and December 1951, the first Lord's Day in December, I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Saviour. I can't remember what I said now, but I can certainly look back and remember how I felt. Such was the conviction of sin. And that tonight, a young lad of 14 trusted the Lord Jesus Christ and was eternally saved. You know, we read of another man who regretted the journey he took. Remember the young man we read of in Luke chapter 15? It says he came to an end of himself and confessed that he had done wrong. And he went back to his father and he knew the father's forgiveness. Someone has said, slow are the steps of repentance, but swift are the feet of forgiveness. God can run where we can scarce limp. Two things this young man would never understand. Why, to begin with, he fled love for the dark streets and the black wine, or why, when he quit the swing coat, love ran to meet him. Remember, the father saw him in the distance and he ran and embraced him. He was going to say, Father, I have sinned against thee in thy sight and am no more worthy to be called thy son. That was what he intended to say. But you know, he never got that line. Father, I have sinned against thee in thy sight and am no more worthy to be called thy son. And you know, immediately on the confession, there was the forgiveness. And that lad was restored. Now, I don't know who wrote one of the hymns. I don't know who many of the hymns in the hymn, but somebody wrote this. I wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home, the pass of sin to law my throne, Lord, I'm coming home. I wonder, is that going to be your response to the message and to the invitation of the Saviour tonight? So Lord, made a wrong decision, he regretted it. And again, as I said, you'll never regret trusting Christ as your Saviour. Nehemiah chapter 2. Nehemiah is asked, how long shall thy journey be, and when wilt thou return? And none of us knows now how long or how short our journey will be. Remember David, he says, this, there is but a step between me and death. You know, we don't want to be morbid, but we've got to be realistic. You know, at the top of the train, Swan Bray tonight, just as I stopped at the crossroads, I just stopped back to the years when I was underground here in the Wellesley. We were under the fourth. Just remember this, there was but a step between me and death, and that happened down the pit there in the Wellesley. There's a man by the name of Ian Buist, and he was going to the face line, and he had to bend down under and go onto the face line, and there, as he bent to go on the face line, a stone came out the roof and killed him. Just a second either way, there's a step between me and death. None of us knows what a day may bring forth. How long will your journey be? Well, we don't know. James says, what is your life? As even as a vapor which appeareth for a little while and then vanishes away. In 2 Samuel we read about Barzillai. He was a great man, and he says to David, how long have I to live? A friend tonight, no matter who you are or what you are, whether you're great or insignificant, the Bible says this again, it is appointed unto men once the joy, and after this the judgment. Now in our doctor's surgery there's a notice up complaining about people who do not keep their appointments, and that they're asking anybody that is going to be going to miss their appointment to phone in and tell the receptionist, Thursday night there's one appointment you'll never miss, and that is the time when your journey will come to an end. How long will your journey be? Well, I just don't know. Psalm twice in the Psalms we read these words, what is man? Psalm 8 is crowned with glory and honour. But again, in 144 it says, man is like to vanity, his days are as a shadow that passeth away. But remember this again, friend, our limited ability to accept God's limitless power. And no matter how feeble or how frail you may feel tonight, you can know God's power and blessing and salvation in your life, because God is offering to every one of us a full and free salvation through faith. And remember again this, there's no failure more disastrous than success that we scored out. Another book we don't hear very much about is the book of Amos. One verse that is often mentioned in the Gospel is there, and it says this, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. We've heard that often, prepare to meet thy God. I wonder if you've ever done that. Now again, as we look through the book of Amos, we read five times over, yet you have not returned unto me. Prepare to meet thy God, five times over, yet you have not returned unto me. If we're going on a journey, we all make plans and preparation, don't we? Sometimes at the last minute and we forget things. Friend tonight, could I plead with you, prepare to meet thy God if you have not already done that, by coming and confessing you're a sinner and trusting the Lord Jesus as your Saviour. Numbers chapter 10, and really this is a verse that got me thinking about journeying. I was reading in the book of Numbers, in chapter 10 there, we are journeying to the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you, come thou with us and we will do thee good. And those of us who are Christians, we too are travelling, are journeying to this place of which the Lord has told us of, in that place is heaven. Remember the thief on the cross? Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Well again we sing, we're marching unto heaven above, will you go? To sing the Saviour's dying love, will you go? Millions have reached that blissful shore, their trials and their labours o'er, and yet there's room for millions more. Will you go? I don't know who wrote this, what I'm going to say now, but someday my life's little day will soften down to eventide. My sunset hours will come, and then I know there will arise out of the dusk a dawning fairer than any dawn that has yet broken upon me. Out of the last tints of sunset there shall rise a day such as I have never known before, a day that shall restore to me all the other days have taken from me, a day that shall never fade into twilight. I wonder, friend, I don't know if you wrote that, I wonder, have you got a hope like that? Those of us who have trusted Christ, we have a hope, and the apostle says, as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Remember, the apostle says, the time of my departure is at hand. He had a desire to depart and be with Christ, which was very far better. All he wanted to live for was to live for Christ. All he wanted out of his life was love for Christ, and nothing out of death but to be with Christ. You know, again, Hebrews 10, sobering, speaks of a fearful looking for of judgment, but not for us Christians, because there's that verse again that we are looking for that blessed hope and the appearing in glory of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. We are journeying, those of us who are Christians are journeying to the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you, come there with us, and we will do thee good. And the time's almost gone. Paul, or Saul, in Acts chapter 9, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there thundered about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice say, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? I was thinking, in these verses, how quickly things change in a person's life. Verse 1, he's breathing out threatenings and slaughters against the disciples of the Lord, and suddenly he is a changed man. I'm sure of this. The last thing that Saul thought of as he left Jerusalem to go to Damascus was this is what was going to happen to him. He said he thought he ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And I know this, that he never thought by nightfall that he would be a Christian. How suddenly, how quickly things changed in Saul's life. We were all saddened by the tsunami in Japan. How suddenly, how quickly things changed in that moment of time. People, thousands of people, ushered into eternity. You know, friend, let me assure you again tonight that to become a Christian, you don't need to take a training course. You don't have any ritual to go through. Remember the jailer, he heard the message clear and plain, and he cried out, what must I do to be saved? And the message came across clear and plain, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Because that verse again, we quote it from Romans, for with the heart man believeth in the righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You know, again, as we think of the blessing of the Lord, remember this, it is not humanly produced, it is God given. And so, and again, I say, well, why remain distant when God calls you near in love that dismisses all bondage and fear? Well, why remain Christless that you may be blessed? Well, why remain weary when Christ gives you rest? As we think of Saul, suddenly everything changed in that moment of time. He was on the broad way, he was going to Damascus, but he was on the broad way that was leading to destruction that we mentioned already. And suddenly he was on this narrow way which leadeth unto life. And he says in another verse, I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. What a sudden change, what an immediate change, what an unexpected change took part in Saul's life that night, or that day rather, when he trusted Christ as his Savior. Now what about you now? As we said, you know that what we go through, you have no training course to go through. All that God wants from you is a broken and repentant heart. And all he wants to hear, not to any of us who are Christians in the hall here tonight, we have nothing to do with it really. It's something between you and God alone. That tonight it is repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you do that, you will be eternally saved. Trust the Lord will bless these few thoughts, their minds and hearts here. Our Father, again, we thank thee for the message of the gospel. We thank thee again tonight that it is for whosoever will. Thou knowest all our hearts tonight. And we just pray that every one of us might go from this place rejoicing in thy salvation. Take everyone home safely now and bless us all and watch over us all as we give thee thanks for our time together and again for the salvation which the Lord Jesus has obtained for us there upon Golgotha. And we thank again tonight that he is risen and glorified and exalted at thy right hand, a prince and a saviour. We commend ourselves, giving thanks again in his name. Amen.